Okay, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 6. We're in Romans, chapter 6. We'll read two verses. Uh, 13 and 14. Before I begin, just want to say thank you to Arturo for his greetings to us. And I just can't wait till heaven where we can have fellowship with no interpretation. We'll communicate in the language of the angels. And I mean, I like Spanish, but I can't wait to just talk. Just rap together, as they say. Okay. Let's go ahead and read together Romans 6, 13 and 14. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Our subject today is on overcoming our weaknesses. Overcoming our weaknesses. This is, again, part of Pastor Hiroshi's series on building, kizuku. And this is based on his sermon he preached a few months ago entitled Jibun no Kuzusu, which is not a translation of our title today. But again, it's the series on being built up. Last week we talked on being built up in Christ. And this is not a review of that, but in Hiroshi's sermon, original sermon, he made the point of how when we are built up in Christ, we are built up like a model home. Nahomi and I, some of you know, are looking at homes, and we want to maybe build or buy a home someday soon. And we are looking at model houses, and we're looking for ideas, where to put the sink, where to put the sofa, where how the bedroom should go. God has given us the perfect model for our lives, how to live our lives with joy and peace and purpose. And that model is Jesus Christ. And as we look at his pattern written to us in the book of, the books of the Gospels, you can see how to model and pattern your life according to his example. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so when we are being built up in Christ, we are following his model. However, on the other hand, we all have to deal with something that we are never truly able to get rid of in our life, and that is the problem of sin problem. And the Bible teaches that there are two characteristics of the sin that we experience in our lives. The first is what the Bible calls, or not the Bible, but theologians call original sin. I think it's called genzai, not zenzai, but genzai, which basically means we have, as children of Adam, as descendants of Adam and Eve who committed the first sin, we also have sin in us. The King James says we were born in iniquity, conceived in sin, meaning that that is a part of our genetic spiritual makeup. And as Pastor Hiroshi illustrated, this was back in when they were having the Winter Olympics. Some of you who watched the curling event. It was very popular in Japan at that time. I liked it. It's a very relaxing sport when you watch it, just watching that thing. I don't know what it's called. as it glides down the path. And, you know, when they push it, I don't know what they do, they let it go down the ice, it's going straight. And you think, okay, that's a nice road, it's the nice way it's going, it's going to be straight. And somewhere along the way, it veers. It turns, and they're screaming, hep, hep, hoop, hop, hoo, whatever, and they're, you know, scrubbing. But you think it's going to, you know, go straight, and then it just goes that way. That is original sin, as Pastor Hiroshi illustrates. We all want to go the right way, but there's something in us that denies that, and we just, we can't. We're unable. We're incapable of doing that. That's a sinful nature. We are sinful by nature, but we are also sinful by nurture. We have sinful action where nobody has to teach us how to sin. It comes naturally. I mean, I have two little boys. I never taught them how to cry when they have no problems. They've been fed. They're not sleepy. Their diaper is not wet. But they just want to cry because they feel like it. That's a sinful nature to me. And also, you know, if you were to leave my two boys alone in a room, they're not going to be, teaching each other mathematics and, you know, cooking and cleaning for each other. You leave two people in a room by themselves, without any rules, without any boundaries, and they will end up killing each other eventually. We are sinful by nurture. And so we have things like the Ten Commandments written in the book of Exodus, where God says, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't covet, and on and on. Honor your mother and father. But today's message is focusing on that part that's related to sinful action, that leads up to sinful action, which is weaknesses, our weaknesses. And Pastor Hiroshi defines those weaknesses as the areas in our life where sin manages to operate or work easily. Those areas of weaknesses, those places where sin finds a foothold in our life. They're not sin in and of themselves, but they're weaknesses that result in sin. And so what are we talking about here? Well, we look at the example in Genesis of, example of Genesis where we find the first sin. Genesis chapter 3, and it says there, the woman, speaking of Eve, saw the fruit of the tree, which was forbidden, and she saw that it was good for food, and it was pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom. And so she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate it. So the fruit itself was appealing to her. It appealed to her appetite, it looked good. It appealed to her thirst for knowledge, for power. And so that's one of the ways that sin attacks us is in those areas of weakness. Those areas were where Eve was weak. She found things that looked good, appealing to her. She found things that appealed to her ability to gain power over her husband, appealing to her. And so that resulted in sin. You see, it didn't tempt Adam. Adam didn't have a problem with good looks or things that looked good. He didn't have a problem with things that might give him more power. It wasn't a temptation for him. So the devil didn't try to work him that way. The problem with Adam was that he was lazy. If you look there, he was neglectful of his role as a leader. He was letting his wife talk to the devil. I mean, that is terrible neglect as a leader and as a man. You don't let your wife talk to the devil while you're sitting there. This is where Adam should have stepped up and become macho and said, look, okay, honey, you just step aside. Devil, if you got something to say, you can talk to me. That's where Adam's macho should have kicked in. But he was lazy. He wanted to watch the game, and he didn't really care. But it says that he was right there. So he's not, you know, free of guilt in any way. It's Adam and Eve's sin. But getting beyond that, we have the second example of their child, Cain. And, you know, we notice where Cain is the older brother of Abel, and they're both giving offerings to God, but we see that Abel's offering was of a better quality than of Cain's. So God looked at Abel's offering with favor. Basically, he liked Abel's offering better. And Cain saw this, and he became jealous. And as we see, it says he became very angry. And then his face was downcast. I mean, if you look, he just went up and down. He burned with anger, and then he just crashed down into depression. You want to talk about an emotional roller coaster? There's a good example for you. It wasn't sin. He didn't sin yet. But his weakness was that he was allowing his emotions to have more control over him, as opposed to him having control over his emotions. Cain was displaying those typical aspects of an alpha dog, or, you know, that type A kind of mentality, the bully, the jock. He was the hunter. He was the sportsman. He was the one who had the power. And so when something was better than him, he got angry. And then he got depressed. So he let his emotions take control. He was over emotional. And that led to violence. And then that led to sin. But it wasn't sin to be emotional. It wasn't sin to harbor those angry feelings. For Eve, it wasn't sin to admire something that was beautiful, like the fruit. It wasn't sin to desire knowledge and power. It wasn't those things that was sin. But God, being God, he wants to stop sin before it's going to happen. So what did he do? He talked to Cain, and he saw the way Cain was going. He saw the weakness that was being attacked in Cain. And he spoke to him, and he said, Cain, look, I see where you're going. I see how you are just wallowing in this bitterness. And if you don't get right, if you don't turn around, this weakness is going to overcome you. But you can't let that happen, Cain. You have to master it. He says there, it desires to have you, but you must master it. And but Cain, he wouldn't listen. He got a word from God, but he just let those emotions get the best of him. And he ended up killing his brother, which was the sin. But getting back to it, it is our areas of weakness that we are exposed, and we end up doing sinful action. And so sin, which we commit, it's the sin that exposes our weakness. It's when we sin, we say, oh, okay, this is where I'm weak. And so what we're talking about is areas of weakness versus actual sin. And, you know, it didn't just happen with Eve or with Cain. You look at every sin in the Bible. You look at David, where he sinned with Bathsheba, and his area of weakness was beautiful women, with the lust of the eyes. And that was his area of weakness, and Satan took advantage of it right there. So we're looking at areas of weakness that lead to sin. And so what are the kinds of weaknesses that we find? Well, Hiroshi made a list. And it's not an exhaustive list. It's just a list that he came up with himself. And he wasn't thinking of anybody in particular in the church when he made this list. He was just thinking of himself. He admitted that. He just thought, okay, what's my problem? What are my weaknesses? Let me just write them down and tell the whole church. And I'm so glad that he was man enough to do that, because I sure couldn't do that. Just write a list and then tell you, here's my problems. But thank you, Pastor Hiroshi, for making this list of yourself. Just a few of them to look at. The list could go on and on, but there's excess desire, possessions, sensuality, power, wealth, food. None of these things in and of themselves are bad. You know, we all need them. They're all good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of life. But it's the excessive desire, the wanting of more and more and more. It's the feeling, I just can't get enough of this. That's where we can become weak and expose ourselves to sin. There's excess emotion. Just like with Cain, you know, jealousy. Some of us are prone to panic. Some of us have short tempers. You know, the emotional roller coaster. We go way up and then we go crashing down. We can't really stay level. That's a weakness that many of us have and that we're dealing with. And so it's not being in control of our emotions, but our emotions being in control of us. It's a weakness. It's not a sin. It's a weakness. There's dependency, you know. On alcohol, parents can have a dependency on their kids. They have trouble letting them go. There's dependency on sex, work, it could be anything. And the point is, are those things in your life where you feel, if they were not in my life, if this was not in my life, would I be able to live? If I lost this, how would my life be? Kind of a thing, you know. Pastor Hiroshi mentioned him and his wife recently were talking about how would our life be if we didn't have our dog, you know, if we lost him or something. Luke, I think, is their name. And, you know, it's good to have a dog. But anyway, other problems could be miscommunication. Some of us have difficulty, you know, trying to communicate things and we just, you know, want to explain and explain it over and over again. We have a problem stopping sometimes. Some of us have problems with, you know, critical comments or just being negative all the time and we can't say anything positive. Some of us have problems with vulgarity and we just have to watch our mouth all the time. So, you know, then there's just the list is on and on and on. Anxiety, obsession, violence, forgetfulness, guilty, apathy, nervousness, indecision, arrogance, over-competitiveness, cruelty, low self-esteem. Just on and on and on. I mean, everybody has these weaknesses. You don't have to, you know, write the list. You already have the list in your head and your heart already your own problems. You know, there's no one here without any weaknesses. So how do we recognize, the point is how do we find out where our areas of weaknesses may be? This is another list that Hiroshi just kind of thought up, nothing out of, you know, serious study or anything, just out of observation of life. And if we find ourselves repeating the same mistakes, the same failures, I coach a basketball team, and every time we have practice, we have the same routines. And the point of the routines of our drills is to build good habits and to stop the bad habits. There's good basketball and bad basketball. Good basketball is good habits. Bad basketball is bad habits. And so some of us, we find ourselves making the same mistake. We have the same problems because of our bad habits and we haven't had a chance to build the good habits. And so if you find yourself, you know, I can't believe I did that again. Again? You know, I thought I was over this. Well, it's a weakness, something you haven't overcome yet. Facing the same problems, the same kind of, why do I keep meeting these kinds of people? It's not that you meet these kinds of people, it's that you haven't figured out how to deal with these kinds of people. And so it's that weakness that's in you. Why does this always happen to me? It's because it's a weakness in you. If you find yourself praying for the same things, it doesn't mean, you know, praying for the person, the same person over and over again. It's not that. But you find yourself having to, you know, I got to pray for money all the time. Or here I am, I need to pray to forgive this person again. The same kinds of prayer requests keep popping up throughout your life. It's a weakness. If you can get to the point where, you know, it's okay, we don't have to pray about that because I know it's going to be fine. We'll just move on. Then you've overcome it. But if you're still thinking, oh man, I got, you know, when you close your eyes and the only thing you see is that problem. It's a weakness. Again and again, it's coming up into your heart, into your mind. If you hear the same criticisms over and over, some of you who are married, you know what I'm talking about. Where it's just, all right, okay. You know, to some of us it's nagging. To some of us, it's a real problem that we have to deal with. It's, you know, they're weaknesses. Weaknesses. If you find yourself trying to escape the same situation over and over again, you just can't seem to get yourself out, or you're trying to run away from a problem, and then you go to the next place, and again that problem comes up, and so you run away and you go to another place. It's like Jacob, right, in Genesis. He's building a well. He builds a well. Everything's going good, and then a problem comes up. He runs away. He goes and he builds another well. And it's going good for a while, and a problem comes up. And he goes away, finds a new land. And we just keep running and running. There's a weakness there that we haven't figured out how to solve, how to overcome. Not sin, but an area of weakness. And so, you know, they're weaknesses. They're not sins. We don't have to condemn these weaknesses. Jesus never came to condemn weakness. He never came to judge a weakness in us. In fact, what he did was he took them upon himself for us. That's what he did for us. That is the goodness of our Lord. And so how do we respond to these areas of weaknesses? Once we've recognized them, we see the signs, okay, I'm weak in this area. You don't have to preach to me that. I know that for a fact. This is my problem. How do we respond to them? Well, there's two responses. One is that we can change or you don't change. But the reason why some people don't change is because maybe they think, well, why should I be the only one who changes? Why me? I mean, look at all the problems he has, or look at all the things that she's going through. Why do I have to be the one to be the change, to be the changer? I mean, you know. That's one reason that people don't change. The other one is they just decide, well, you know, this is how God made me. That's fine. I'm fine the way I am. I got these problems, but I just, if I can run and get away from it for a while, then that's fine. And they just don't want to have the desire to even bother to deal with these weaknesses. But Pastor Eric says, look, that's not what God made you for. What does Psalm 139, verse 13 say? He says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a work of art to God. I wanted to illustrate this to a student of mine this week. He asked me a question, and I tried to answer him from the Bible. So I said, okay, here's a piece of paper. You have 10 seconds. Draw a picture in this box. And in 10 seconds, he drew a kind of rough sketch of a shelf. I said, all right, now, here's another box. You have 1 minute. Draw a picture. Go. And in 1 minute, he drew a nice picture of a table, which is better than I could do in 1 minute. And I said, look, you had 10 seconds for this picture. It was okay. You had 1 minute for this picture. And look how it came out. And in this picture, you can see that you are an intelligent person, that you can make a square and make it three-dimensional. It reflects your intelligence, your creativity. And you had 1 minute to do it. God made you in your mother's womb. He created your inmost being. He had 9 months, Japanese say 10 months, to work on you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a work of art to God. Why do you think you should even consider yourself a piece of junk? And not change and not become what he's made you to be. That's not what he made you to be. Not something to be recycled or to be thrown away, but he wanted to make you something beautiful and to reflect his glory. So some people just don't want to change because they think that's who I am. Another reason why people don't want to change is, they've tried everything else. You know, they tried all the programs, they've read all the books, they've been to so many churches, they've heard so much advice, they've been to the counseling, yada, yada, yada. I just give up. I throw my hands up and Nothing seems to work. I prayed. I just can't change. And they give up. But you can't give up. You never give up. You can't give up. Paul says to us in Romans, don't offer your parts of your body to sin as instruments of weakness, but offer yourselves to God. Don't give up. Don't let yourself be taken advantage to the point where sin now controls you. I give up. I can't fix it. So here you are, sin. Here's my body. You know, here's sin. Sin, whatever you want to do with me. Just go ahead. Don't offer yourselves up to sin. Don't give up on yourselves. Offer the parts of your body to God. Why? Because sin shall not be your master. You know what else Paul says in just later in that letter, a couple chapters? You can flip over Romans chapter 8. One of my favorite chapters in the book starts with, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to explain why. Because Jesus took all of the condemnation on himself, so that now we are considered the sons of God, to be filled with his Spirit, to be blessed with him. But not just that, he didn't just save us, but what it says there, I think verse 12 or 13, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, that very same power, he now puts in us so that we can change and live a good life. That power that took death and conquered it has victory over that power is in us, according to the Bible. And so we don't give up. Because Paul says in the end of that chapter, Jesus conquered death. And so for those of us who follow Jesus, we're more than conquerors. Jesus is the conqueror. We are more than conquerors because of Christ Jesus and what he did to us, for us. That's good news. That's the gospel. So we don't give up. So how do we overcome then? Well, we have a few suggestions. First, we need to be honest with ourselves. Recognize, yes, you know, I'm not going to live in denial. I have a problem. I'm not the perfect person. I'm going to recognize it. I'm going to acknowledge it. And I'm not going to, you know, deny it anymore. For some of us, that's a problem. That's difficult. We can't accept the fact that we're weak. You know, sometimes you watch a woman walking a dog, and it's, you know, a small woman and a big dog. And, you know, the dog's just going for it. He wants to find some place to sniff and scratch it. And the woman's like this. You know, she's not walking the dog. Right? The dog is walking her. She's not in control of the dog. The dog is in control. She thinks she's in control because she has that little bit of strength connected. But no, the dog is in control. And so some of us think, you know, oh no, I'm in control. I got it. It's okay. I'm fine. It's no problem. But the reality is, no. You've got a problem. You have to acknowledge it. Recognize it. John says to us, Chapter 1, verse 8, you know, if we say that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. Right? And the truth is not in this. We have to be honest with ourselves. That's the first thing we need to do if we're going to overcome sin. But he goes on to say is that not only do we deceive ourselves, if we claim to be without sin, we make God out to be the liar. And God is not, the point of that is obviously God is not a liar. In fact, God knows from going into it with a relationship with you. He knows what your problem is to begin with. He knew your weakness. And so we don't have to be honest. Not only do we have to be honest with ourselves, we have to be honest with God. Because he knew our weakness from the get-go. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, we do not have a high priest who is not able to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. He himself knows our weaknesses. Why? Because he himself was a man, just like us. He became a man.
and he took on our temptation. You know, when he was baptized, went out into the desert, and it says he was hungry. And the devil said, well, go ahead, here's some bread. And he said, no, I don't live by bread alone. He overcame that weakness of appetite. The devil said, well, okay, well, you know, God says he'll take care of you, jump off. See what God will do. And Jesus said, no, you don't test God. Don't mess with his word. I stand on his promises. And he was able to overcome the devil. So Jesus knew. Jesus was hungry, he was alone. And God, the enemy took advantage of that, but still Jesus overcame. And he gives us that same power to overcome. We got to be honest with ourselves. We got to be honest with God. If we give ourselves to God and be honest with him, that's a secret to overcoming our weakness. Finally, we got to be honest with each other. Be honest with others. We have family, close friends. You know, if you get to the point where you need professional help, that's available to you. Pastor Hiroshi, after having seen all of the people who come through with so many disabilities emotionally, psychologically, he thought, okay, that's enough. I need to get some training. He's certified himself to be a professional counselor, going through a doctoral course, going to get it soon. He's opened up a clinic just across the street. Why? Because he wants people to be honest with themselves and with each other. And he's going to become a professional with that. Basically, the point is this. If you think you have to deal with your weaknesses by yourself, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. We are not here to do it alone. We're here for each other. God gave us each other to overcome our weaknesses. But for some of us, we are each other's weaknesses. And we've got to overcome that as well. Because we're not here to do it alone. You can't face everything alone. Some things, yes, you face by yourself. There's nobody else to take care of it for you. There's some things you need to face alone. But not everything. And you need to be able to make a relationship close enough to where you can say, man, you please pray for me. I'm struggling with this right now. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I need you to pray. I'm going through this. I don't have the strength to do it. I need some help. I need you to pray for me. Help go through this with me together. If you're not in a relationship close enough to trust somebody, to open up to them in prayer, beyond fellowship, you're in trouble. And you need to be able to say, Lord, I humble myself before you, and I'm going to be honest with somebody so that I can get help and really pray about this thing and really try to overcome what I need to overcome. What does Jesus say? My commandment to you is this: love one another just as I have loved you. We're here for each other. So let's pray and encourage each other. And that's how we're going to be built up in Christ Jesus to the glory of his name. Amen? Okay, so let's go ahead and spend a moment in prayer. Matthew, I'm going to ask you to come on up. Go. Get ready. Heavenly Father, I ask that you open the eyes of those who are blind to their weakness, to the problems they don't know they have, so that they can be honest with themselves and honest with you. Heavenly Father, I ask for you to help us to be honest with you, to seek you for the help we need, to receive from you the power you make available to us to overcome. Father, I pray for those here who have difficulty with relationships built long enough so that we can have trust. I pray for better fellowship. I pray for closer friendship. I pray for true sharing. Lord, that we can be here for each other. That we can build each other and edify each other according to your word. Lord, that we fulfill your commandment to love one another as you have loved us. Oh God, have mercy on us and help us in all of these things. For this we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.